Okay, all right. Everybody knows that I'm a teacher, not a preacher, right? Okay, good. So we're going to have some interaction today. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Firstly, I wanted to, because I'm up here and I get the privilege of being able to do that, I want to say Happy Mother's Day, Mum. I love you. I can honestly say that I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my mum. Oh, I need my little clicker thing, don't I? I always forget that. I'm not used to all this really fandangle technology. I remember once I spoke in Tanzania and I was teaching on a beach, which was lovely, but for a classroom setting, not so nice. But yes, all this wonderful technology we have. All right, so this morning I wanted to look at a scripture in Luke, if you want to turn in your Bibles. The scripture is Luke 16, verses 10 to 12. I will bring it up for you, but I'll give you a minute to quickly turn in your Bibles to Luke 16, verses 10 to 12. It will be probably a very familiar passage. Okay, there we go. It says, unless you're faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. If you cheat even a little, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's money, why should you be trusted with money of your own? Okay, so what is this passage talking about? This is where the interaction comes in. So what is this passage talking about? Faithfulness? Honesty? Yeah, it's talking about a number of things, but in particular, it's talking about faithfulness and how we steward things. This actually comes from a passage that talks about this guy, he was a manager, right? And the word manager that is used there is the same word that is used for the word steward, okay? So today, I'd like to talk about... Okay, don't touch Jeff. About stewardship, okay? So when we think about stewardship, there's a number of things that we can think, well, okay, what do we need to be good stewards of? If we need to be faithful, okay, if we're going to be good stewards, what do we need to be good stewards of? Now, this part of the teaching, what I'm giving today, is normally given for the students that came for the DTC, the Discipleship Training Course. This is part of the Lordship Week, Lordship of Christ Week, that I normally teach on when I'm in Africa and I'm traveling around, okay? But because we only had a short period of time, I wasn't able to cover it, but as I was praying about what to share here, as I was praying about what I was going to teach, God said, I want you to teach this bit this Sunday. So I spoke to David about doing it this Sunday, and he gracefully said yes. Okay, so let's look at... So what are some of the things that we need to be good stewards of? Money. Okay, so finances... Okay, time is another, yes. I have, I think, 5, 2, 4, 6 on my list. Okay, so money, yes, time. And have I turned this off? No, okay. I'm pointing. Okay, don't go there. Don't go there. Go back. Go back. Okay, what do we need to be good stewards of? Gifts and talents, yes. Oh, come on, stop cheating. Okay, time, money, yes. Something else? Food? Someone say food? Okay, yeah, we could be good stewards of food. I guess that's part of it. Other people's money, that comes under finances, yeah. Other people's food. What are you guys, why is food such an important issue to you guys? Tony, are your thoughts. Okay, yes, that definitely comes into it. And where that comes into it is being good stewards of our bodies, because of course our mind, our thoughts is from our mind, and that's part of our body, and we're going to talk about each one of these. What about our possessions? Being good stewards of our possessions. Like I have this wonderful thing here. It's like God has provided it for me. Okay, so we're going to talk about these different things. So yes, we've got gifts and talents. We can bring that one up because we know that one's there. Cheaters. Okay, and we talked about possessions. Okay. Possession. No, I spelled it right. My English is not great. I won't tell you that story. We mentioned time. And we mentioned finances. I managed to find a picture of Australian dollars. Okay. And we mentioned bodies, but there's one that we didn't mention, and that is this one. Being good stewards of creation. Okay, and the last one we did mention, which is being good stewards of our bodies. Okay, so we're going to look at each one of these. And the first one, of course, is our gifts and talents. Okay, so what gifts and talents do we have to be good stewards of? Very good. Wow, top of the class, Tony. Okay, yeah. I'm not sure why that does that, but anyway, not to worry. Okay, so the scripture that I have here is from 1 Peter 4:10, if you wanted to write it down in your notes. As each person has received a gift, we should use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Okay, so yeah, we should be good stewards of the gifts and talents that we have. And one of those talents, as Tony rightly said, is like if you've done any training. Who's done computer training? Yay. Okay, so God can use that gift, that talent, to serve the body of Christ. Okay, how many of you love playing Aussie Rules football? Not many people. How many of you like watching Aussie Rules football? A lot more people. Okay, all right, maybe not a great one. Who's musical? Okay, so all the musicians up on stage, God is using the gift and talent that they have to serve the body of Christ. Engineers? Any engineers? Teachers? Okay. God can use the gift of teaching to build up the body of Christ. And when I mean the body of Christ, I mean your local body, but I also mean globally as well, the international church. International? Global church. There we go. So any training you've ever had, any skill that you have, mothers, who can cook? Our mothers, okay? God can use cooking to bless the body of Christ. God can use soccer to bless the body of Christ just as easily as he can use my gift in the area of administration to bless the body of Christ. And we need to be good stewards of that and be willing to submit them as God leads to be used by God to build up the church. And there's one other gift or talent that we need to be a good steward of, and we haven't mentioned it yet. Encouragement. Okay, it comes down to, it's definitely in the Bible, and encouragement is most definitely in the Bible, but what about our spiritual gifts? Love. The gifts of the Spirit. Amen. How many are there? Nine. Okay. Okay, let's start over this side. We'll go this side, this side, this side, this side. Okay, name one. No, the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit. Faith is one, yep, that's one. Speaking in tongues, yep. Say again. Not. Prophecy is one, yes. No, not one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge, yes. How many we got? We've got four so far. Let's come back here. Someone. Word of wisdom, yes. Working of miracles, yes. Say again. No. No. We're getting down to the last few now. We've got three left. Interpretation of tongues is another one, yep. Discerning of spirits, and we're missing one. Okay, let's have a look. Which one are we missing? Okay, these are our spiritual gifts. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we had wisdom, we had knowledge, we had, I know the one we miss now, faith we had, this one we miss, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, various kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And just like those other skills and training that you've had that God wants you to use to build up the body of Christ, He also wants you to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit to build up the body. And we talked in the discipleship training course about sharing our faith, and very much so as we go out and share our faith. And when I mean sharing our faith, I don't mean that it's for Pastor David or myself or the missionaries that you support as a church. It's not just their job only. It's everyone's job. It's everyone's job to be sharing your faith in wherever you are, in your workplace. And we talked about that on the discipleship training course. So when we have another one, if you're not sure how it's done, then you'll have to come along. Amen? Okay. All right. But we need to be good stewards of the spiritual gifts that God has given us as well. All right, let's move on. So gifts and talents, we're going to be good stewards of our gifts and talents, aren't we? Possessions. Okay. Not sure why. Okay, it looks fine on mine. Okay. All right, so how do we be good stewards of our possessions? Look after them. Yes, that's one way. We need to be good stewards by looking after what God has given us. And so I won't take what God has given me here and just throw it around just haphazardly with the chance of possibly breaking it. We need to be good stewards of it by looking after it. Well done, Jackie. Okay, let's look at some scriptures and see what God says about our possessions. Okay, the first one is in Acts 4:32. It says, all believers were in one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. But they shared everything they had. What is it that I need? Okay. How about this one? Acts 2. Oh, come on. You can do it. There you go. Verses 44-45. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. What do I need? And this one, 1 John 3:17. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Wow, these are challenging words, aren't they? So basically, nothing you have is yours. Okay? It all belongs to God. And we should use it to help one another as there is need. And if necessary, it says that we should possibly sell our property to help someone. How many of you love the Bible? Hey? Isn't God great? So based on these scriptures, nobody should be living in poverty worldwide. Is that correct? That's 100% correct, isn't it? Yeah. If everybody was living according to the teachings of Jesus, we would have no poverty in the world. Now, I just want to tell you a short testimony. I remember once in YWAM, we have these times of giving. Okay, so we have these times of giving. And basically, they say, okay, I want you to go away and I want you to pray. Firstly, ask God, should you give something? Now, we're talking things. We're not talking finances at the moment. Okay? We're going to talk about that in a minute. Okay. But we had to pray, God, do you want me to give anything? If so, what do you want me to give? And then the last question is, okay, who do you want me to give it to? Okay, so I had a watch. Now, you know, a watch is nothing necessarily special, but for me, it was a special watch because what happened was I was in the military for 21 years. Yeah, 21 years. And when I left the military, you would think after 21 years, they would give you a gold watch or something, right? See you later. That's basically what I got. Oh, I did get a little plaque for the unit that I was at, saying thank you, and that was all I got. So what I did was, I thought, well, that's not very fair. I thought I'd get a gold watch or something after 21 years. So what I did on one of my mission trips when we went to Singapore, because they were nice and cheap there, I bought myself a really nice watch. And I had that watch for a number of years. And it came time to this giving time, and I prayed and I asked God, okay, God, do you want me to give? And he said, yes. And I said, well, okay, what do you want me to give? And he said, I want you to give your watch. Now, this was a nice watch. It had five alarms, had a barometer, thermometer, compass, had the lot. It was a bee's knees, really nice watch. And I went, okay, who do you want me to give it to? And God said, I want you to give it to John. Now, John was from Ghana, and John had a nice watch. He already had a nice watch. And I'm like, but God, he's already got a nice watch. He says, well, I want you to give John your watch. So I'm like, okay. And so the time of giving came around, and basically what you had to do was you had to come forward, and you would call the other person forward and tell them, okay, I felt God and say, I need to give you my watch. And then you would they would take the watch, and then you would pray for them. Okay, so I did that, and Michelle was standing in the corner down the back. I was on this side of the room. She was over there standing near the door. And Michelle knew how important this watch was to me. And so I called John forward and said, hi, John, I really feel God has said I need to give you my watch. And Michelle just went... and she... And I'm like... And she goes... She's like, naughty God. So I give John this watch. Anyway, 3 days later, I'm having a quiet time. I'm having my quiet time, and God says to me, okay, John is going to give you your watch back. And I'm like, woohoo, get my watch back. I said, okay, God, do you want me to ask John for my watch back? And he said, no. But when he gives it back, I want you to pay his outreach fees. Because he was trusting God for finances to pay for a portion of his outreach that we were going on. I think it was one week of the outreach in the middle of the lecture phase. We did a week in the middle. And he needed finances for that, and he didn't have it. So I went, okay, well, if I'm not going to ask him for it, this will be really interesting how this is all going to work. So I went about my day, went to the shops, looked at some really nice watches just in case, you know. I went to the base that afternoon, and I didn't say anything. Went and did what I had to do, and I was just leaving the base, and I'm walking away, and I'm just about at the front door, and I hear this, Jeff, Jeff. And it was John. And I went, yes, I know what this is about. And he says, I need to talk to you about something. So we sat down. I said, yes. He says, look, I've really been praying, and I really feel God has said to me that I need to give you your watch back. So I said, wow, that's wonderful. And I just want to let you know that I was having a quiet time this morning, and God told me that you were going to give me my watch back and that I need to pay for your outreach fees. Now, because I was willing to hold my possessions lightly, because they actually everything we have belongs to God, I was blessed because I was obedient to what God said, and I gave as he led me. John was blessed because he got a really nice watch. He was blessed because he was praying and God said he needed to give it back. I was blessed because I got my watch back. Okay. And John was blessed because he got his outreach fees. So all told, we were doubly blessed just purely by an act of obedience with a possession that God had given us. Isn't that amazing? Now we have given many things away over the years. A watch is just a small thing. We gave a car away. We've given numerous things away because our possessions are not ours. And when we are submitting to the Lordship of Christ, we honor God with our possessions. Okay? I need to honor God with this. Okay? I shouldn't be doing things on this that are not honoring to God. This thing connects to the internet. We all know what's on the internet. Okay? Whoop, am I flicking through slides, am I? Sorry about that. I have no idea what's going on now. I'll go back. So I need to honor God with my possessions. I need to be good stewards of my possessions. If I am borrowing someone's possession, I need to make sure I'm being a good steward of that. Okay, yeah, that's the next one. Okay. So our possessions, we need to make sure that we are honoring God with them. And if God asks us to give, there's a reason why He's doing that. That's part of submitting to the Lordship of Christ. Amen? Okay, let's move on. Yes, definitely move on. Okay, next one is time. Okay, how do we be good stewards of time? Because the proverb in Proverbs 20, verse 4, it says, sluggards do not plow in season. So at harvest time, they look but find nothing. Sort of talking about laziness, isn't it? Okay, so one way we can be a good steward of our time is making sure that we're not being lazy and that we're using our time wisely as God leads us. Another way of being good stewards of our time is when we're supposed to be somewhere at a particular time, that we make sure that we're there on time. Okay. Where are my African friends? Where are my African friends? Okay, they all know about African time. Okay? I can tell you many stories about time and different ideas of time. Okay, I was going to tell you another one, but I'll tell you this one instead. Okay, so in Zulu culture, okay, let me start again. My friend was getting married. Okay, so he's getting married, and the wedding is at 11. That's when the ceremony is, and the reception is going to be about 1 o'clock. So the wedding's at 11. At 11:30, there were still people that hadn't shown up, and so they said, look, we need to start. And so they started, and they had the ceremony, and they finished, and still people hadn't shown up. And at 1 o'clock, we started the reception. And people were arriving for the reception. Now, in Zulu culture, that's not a problem. Because if you tell me that the wedding starts at 11, I start getting ready at 11. Because I'm at the wedding. I'm getting ready. I'm at the wedding. And I'm getting in my car and I'm going to the wedding. I'm at the wedding. It's all part of the journey. And then we arrive. And guess what's the most important thing in Zulu culture? Food! Okay? And fellowship. That's the most important thing. The ceremony itself is just something that we do to get to the time where we celebrate together over food. Am I right? Absolutely. Okay, so concepts of time are important to bear in mind. In our Western culture, of course, if I say, okay, we're going to have a meeting at 9 o'clock, what time will you be there? 1:45, 1:50, maybe right on 9, but regardless, you're going to be there at 9. I know if I said I'm going to be at a doctor's appointment at 1:30 and I showed up at 2:30, I'd pay for it, literally, but I wouldn't get my appointment probably. Okay, so being good stewards of time. Okay. Remember, we're talking about being faithful and good stewards and submitting to the Lordship of Christ. Okay, finances, everyone's favorite one. Yay, finances. Okay, now, you can't quite read it there, but it actually says, we need to be faithful or good stewards of our finances, whether we are in feast or famine. Okay, it doesn't matter whether we have a lot or a little. There's a joke that goes like this. A guy was tithing to his church, so he would always tithe 10%. And he went to his pastor and he says, "Look, pastor, you know, I don't think it's fair, this whole tithing thing. You know, I earn, you know, $10,000 a month. That means I've got to give $1,000 every month to the church." And so the pastor said, "Oh, brother, I know your problem. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brother. Father, I know his situation. And Father, I just pray that you would reduce his salary to $5,000 so he only has to give $500. Okay, faith in finance. Here's an interesting thought for you. In the Old Testament, the Israelites used to actually give about 50-60% of what they had. Okay, if you were to take into consideration all of their offerings, free will offerings, peace offerings, this offering, that offering, it would actually constitute about 50-60% of what they got. Okay, who wants to give 50-60% of what you got? Okay, no hands. Okay, good to see. Okay, here's another interesting thought. Do you know that the word tithe only actually appears in the Bible 21 times? Twice in the New Testament, the rest are in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it's only when Jesus is chastising the Pharisees that they're doing that, but they're not looking after mercy and grace and the other things that they should be doing. But offerings is mentioned in various forms 562 times. And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Yep, technology, gotta love it. I love technology, by the way. Love talking about it, love researching it. Maybe I didn't press it. There we go. Don't press it again. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9, 7 says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And you would have probably heard this mentioned before. Okay, short testimony, I'll keep it short from my own life because we've still got two more to go through. Okay, is when I was doing my discipleship training course, we had what they called a faith project. Now, a faith project basically for our school, was they wanted us to pray and ask God, should we give finances towards our faith project, which was two new lawnmowers for the base, the YWAM base. And so at the time, I was had just left the military, and I was actually on long service leave. So I was still actually getting paid while I was doing my discipleship training course. And interestingly, the military actually paid for my DTS, which was brilliant because I didn't have to, because it was called retraining. Anyway, faith project. Everyone there? Okay, faith project. So we had to pray and ask God, first of all, what's the first question we ask God is, God, should I give? Okay. In this term, it's like the second question is, okay, how much should I give? Okay, because I knew what it was for already. Okay, so I prayed and I asked God, okay, God, should I give? And God says, yes, I want you to give $2. And I'm like, that's stupid. I'm getting paid, you know. I can afford more than $2. So I'm going to give $500. Yeah, $500. So we go in class and it was on a Thursday, and it was just before morning tea time. And they said, okay, just before we go to morning tea, we're going to take up our offering for the faith project. And if you don't have the finances on you, that's fine. You can just write it on a piece of paper, just put it into the basket and to let us know how much you're giving, so we know where, if God has provided everything that's needed for the Faith Project for the two new lawnmowers. So I wrote on my piece of paper, because I didn't have $500 on me, I wrote on my piece of paper, $500. And I put it in the basket, and everybody was walking out to go to morning tea, and I put mine in the basket, and I was the second last out, but by the time I got out the door, the other guy was coming behind me. He went past me. But what happened was, as I stepped out of the door, God said to me, "You have been disobedient. I asked you to give $2 and you gave $500. Yeah, you don't want to be disobedient to God, okay? Not so nice. So I had to go back in the classroom and I said to them, "I've been disobedient. God told me to give $2, but I wrote on my slip $500. And I need to ask for $498 of it back. But I said, I don't feel right in taking that $498 back because I was the one who was disobedient." And they rightly said to me, "Then you need to pray and ask God what you should do with that other $498. And I had to change my slip to $2. Because God was showing me a principle in finance. Because I had a few issues in the area of finance, and God knew that, and He was showing me something. It's not about the amount. Faith in finances has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with obedience. Because as God leads, we should give in the area of finances. If he has, if you haven't never done this before, I would encourage you to do it. Pray and ask God how much you should give. He may well say to you, "I want you to continue tithing 10% to the church." Fine. But He might also say, "Actually, this month I want you to tithe 20%, 30%, 40%. But you should do it as God leads you. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. Because it's not really about the money. It's about being obedient to what God says and how He's leading you. You see, God wants a relationship with us, and our finances is part of that. Honoring God in our finances is part of that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right, two to go. I'm doing all right. I've got 3.5 minutes. Okay, the second last one. Creation, and I put the word abad there, which is the original text in the scripture that I'm going to put through, which is in Genesis. When we think of creation, we think of Genesis. Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." Okay, how do you think we're doing taking care of the world that God's given us? Not so good? So we're not really being, well, hopefully we are being good stewards of what God has given us. Okay? I really hate it when people throw their rubbish on the ground. That's my pet hate. Okay? Because they're not being good stewards of what God has given us. Okay? The greenies, gotta love the greenies, yeah? To a certain extent, they have it right. I don't necessarily agree with some of their tactics and the way they do things, but to a certain extent, they have it right. We haven't looked after this planet. No. And as believers, God has called us to work it and take care of it. And interestingly, the word abad is the word used there for work. And the word abad is the same word that is used for the word worship. So when you go to your job on Monday, or whenever you go to work, know that you are worshiping God. Because God is the one that gives you the ability to create wealth, okay? He has given you your work, and we need to worship God through our work. In everything you do, do it to the glory of God, yeah? Okay, so your work is worship to God just as much as it is when you come to church on a Sunday. And part of creation, which I haven't actually put up there, but part of creation is also you. You're part of creation as well. And you need to take care of one another. And that's part of your worship as well. All right, let's get on to the last one. We've got 2 minutes. See how we go. trying to be a really good steward of time. I really am. I really am. Okay, our bodies. Okay. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We've got to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, so how do we do that? Well, I'm going to tell you. If you don't know, I'm going to tell you. Okay. God created it. Jesus died for it. The Spirit lives in it. I'd better take care of it. I think that's pretty good. This woman's doing some exercise. That's one way of taking care of our body and being good stewards of our body, making sure that we are living a healthy, good life. Okay? I've lost 9 kilos since I've been here. That's not a reflection on you, by the way. Okay. But this is how we... let me ask this question first. How do we interact with the world? Through what? Through our bodies. Okay, so... oops, I was just about to press it there. Got to press it here. Okay, so now there's a lot in this diagram that's part of another teaching, and it's actually a little bit hard to see there, unfortunately. But basically, the way we interact with the world is through our senses. Yeah, through our eyes, through our mouth, through our ears, through our nose, and by touch. Yeah? And we need to honor God with these, what I will term gateways or doors in what we do. For instance, and I'll give you a for instance and then I'm going to wrap up. Okay, so for instance, our eye gateway. Okay, any gate can be open or? Okay, so we can open to the enemy. Or we can open to God, or we can close. Okay, so it's a gateway that we use. This is how we interact with the world. And this is the same, because we interact physically with the world through these senses, these are the areas that the enemy will use to try and bring you down. Okay? So for instance, in our eye gateway, we need to be wise in what we watch, what we read. In our ear gateway, we need to be careful of gossip, listening to gossip, amen, speaking gossip. Okay, and there's lots in Scripture. This is a whole other teaching. But there's lots in Scripture that talks about these things individually. I'm just giving you the highlights. Our nose, well, nose one's a little bit more difficult. But drugs can go here. It can also be snorted. Okay. Nose, honoring God with our bodies. The touch gateway. Okay, there's a lot of stuff under touch gateway. Physical abuse, amen, is one. Okay, we don't want to open up that gate. Okay, but you get the point, right? These gateways are the way that we interact with the world, and God calls us to honor Him with our bodies. And I'm just going to finish with this one. The greatest commandment, when he was asked, Jesus said in Mark 12, 30, 31, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all of your strength, with your bodies. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. You see, when we are honoring God with everything that we are, when we are submitting to the Lordship of Christ in these areas and being good stewards of our time, of our finances, of our possessions, of our bodies, of creation, then we are loving God and we are honoring God in the things that we do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Let me just close in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you for this morning, how you have been here with us, and Holy Spirit, you have led this time. And yes, we've had some fun, but we've also talked about some serious things. And Holy Spirit, I just want to ask that you would continue to be with us even as we leave here, and the things that we've spoken about, that you would seal them in our hearts, that in accordance with the greatest commandment, to love you and honor you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we would be people that would do that, and that we would love one another, and we would honor you in all that we have. And we just commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.